searching for sometimes what we take for granted. How many of you feel like sometimes you take God for granted? You take church for granted. This morning we talked about the danger of the minimum, only doing the minimum for God. Well, tonight we're going to talk about send me. I'll go. Now, when I say send me, that doesn't always mean that you have to go to another state or to another town or whatever. You can go right outside these doors, and that's your missionary field right there. That's your missions field as soon as you walk outside these doors. Not everybody can go, Brother Washington. Not everybody can go. We need some people to stay here. Amen. We need some people just to stay right here in Athens, Texas, and minister to somebody's life. Amen. There are over 80,000 people in Henderson County. 80,000 people in Henderson County. What, 13,000 in Athens? We don't even have a tenth of that in our church. We need to get to work. Amen. We need to get to work. Send me. I'll go. Whatever the Lord wants me to do. We've already had this discussion, me and him. And he knows that I'm on his side and he's on my side. Whatever he needs me to do, I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to move. I'd rather stay in Athens. I love Athens. Been here all my life. Been raised in this church. For those of you who did not know, my granddad, Sister Sherry's dad, helped raise the rafters on the church. My dad installed all these ceiling fans. I have history and heritage in this church. I don't want to go nowhere. My wife says amen over here. She don't want to go nowhere. If it's the Lord's will for us to stay in Athens for the rest of my life, I'm fine with that. But I want to do more than just what I'm doing. I want to do more than the minimum. I want to do what God wants me to do. Send me, Lord God. I want to go. I want to do whatever you have for me to do. Jesus told his disciples, he was showing them, he was like, hey, it's really me. Here's my hands. Here's my side. And when they saw him, they were amazed. They were shocked. They were like, oh, Jesus, that's you. And then he told them, he said, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. What was the life of Jesus all about? He was here to minister to people. The Bible says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. But at the same time, why did he get disciples to walk with him? Because he wanted somebody to watch and see how it was done. He wanted somebody to see how it was done so he could train somebody. Amen? Yeah. So then whenever he was about ready to go, he told his disciples, he said, okay, now I'm sending you. You go get them. You go tell them. You do what I've been doing. Of course, they couldn't do it in their own name. But that's the best part about it. Is he came and he said, you know what? I'm going to send my comforter back. And he's going to be with you. That comforter, that power, that name of Jesus is going to be in your life. And you can use it. Amen. Acts 1 and 8 says, and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We talked about that this morning too. About the power of Christ and what it can do for our lives. If we will let it. But Jesus was letting these guys see how things were being done. He was letting them watch how to handle certain situations and trying to build their faith. He was trying to teach them. And then now when we can look back in the New Testament and we can read about all these awesome stories, how all these awesome stories happen in the Bible, what does it do to us? It builds our faith. It makes us think, you know what? If they did it in the New Testament, we can do it in the present time. We can do it right now. If they walked in and said, silver and gold have I none, but such that I have in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. We still have that name with us today. We have that name of Jesus, and those things can happen. Hallelujah. I'm praying, and I'm hoping that something will happen in Columbia, that somebody will get up out of a wheelchair, something that will install faith, huge amounts of faith in my sons. Two of my oldest kids are over there in Columbia. And I pray that they come back completely changed. Now, we take a risk of sending them over there. A huge risk. One of the risks is that while they're over there, God will call them. And then when they get old enough, they'll say, Dad, I feel the call to missions. Columbia, I'm gone. Amen. That'll be a great honor to have a kid as a missionary. A great honor. But boy, mama miss them. Mama will miss him more than daddy will. No, I think we're about the same. But we, it's a huge gamble that we have. But I want my kids to grow up and to see those things happen, to see somebody get up out of a wheelchair, to see somebody whose leg is shorter than the other one or whatever and start to grow. Just it's God. It's not nobody else. It's nothing else, but it's God. Hallelujah. It's God doing things. He did them in the Old Testament. He did them in the New Testament. He's doing them right now. And guess what? He's going to do it in the future. Amen. He's going to do it in the future.
Come on.
I said he's going to do it in the future.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we have to believe that. We have to have faith that he is going to do those things in the future. Amen. Not if, but it's when.
Yeah. Come on.
Amen. It's when. One of the biggest lies that Satan will ever tell you is that you can't. You can't do that. And you can't be like that person. And you can't win the lost. You can't give Bible studies. Michael Bacon, you have a speech impediment. You can't do that. In the name of Jesus, Satan, you're a liar. I can and I am. Amen. Please don't get me wrong. It's not about me tonight, okay? But you look at my life as an example. Okay? When you talk to me, after a while, I may stutter my head off to you. But right now, the anointing, it's God doing this. Amen? It's God doing this. And if he can do it for me in my life, I promise you, he can do it in your life. He can change things in your life where you think, man, I can't believe this happened to me. God, what are you doing in my life? It's because I opened up and said, God, whatever it takes, send me, Lord God. I'll go. I'll do whatever it takes to win somebody to you. I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to be thinking about it for the rest of the service. I don't want nobody to raise their hand. I don't want to embarrass nobody. But when's the last time you prayed for a lost soul or for a soul to walk through that door? What do you think about that? Earlier when I was thinking about it, I had to ask myself that question. When's the last time you prayed for a lost soul, Michael Bacon? How important is that to get lost souls into the church?
Wow.
The Bible says, such were some of you. Such were some of us. We were lost. We were in those situations. We were caught up in gang activities, some of you, in drugs, in alcoholism, pornography, materialism, New Age philosophy. Thank you. We were caught up in all these different things, but God had set us free because somebody witness to us. Somebody told us about God. Somebody said, God, send me. I'll go. I'll go talk to Brother Bowman. I'll go talk to Brother Bowman's mom. I'll go minister to her. One of the biggest lies is Satan will say, you can't. If he can hold you to that, if he can get you to believe that, he's going to hold you to your minimum. He's going to hold you to something that you only do just to get by. There's people at my job like that. They do just enough to get by. But then the ones that work hard, the ones that do what they're supposed to do and go above and beyond, get recognized. May not be with pay, but you know, it's always a, hey man, good job. Good job on getting that order out or whatever it is. The devil may lose his battle against you. In other words, that he may know that you're one to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But if he can get you to think that that's all you need to do, he's won. Because like I said this morning, now instead of you going off and witnessing to somebody else, you're staying in your own little shell. You're staying in your own little box because of the fact that you have it in your mindset that, well, I can't do that. Amen?
Amen?
But we can do that. What's the Bible say? Philippians 4 and something. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We can do those things. We can be overcomers. Amen? We can be overcomers. Send me, Lord, I will go. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when he saw, and when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. How can they see Jesus Christ and still doubt in their hearts? Some people that you witness to are not always going to accept the gospel. I've given several Bible studies. Some have stayed in church. Some have gotten in. Some I never see again. Not everybody's going to accept what you have for them. Not everybody's going to say, you know what? I'm going to come to your church. But we try. What's the Bible say about that? Dust your feet off. Move on to somebody else. If they want to accept it, just move on to somebody else. Somebody out there that's looking for Jesus' name. Somebody out there is looking for a way out of the situation that they're in. They're looking for something. And some doubted, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I like this part. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Then he puts that little stamp on there. Amen. Why do we worry about things? Why do we worry about how we're going to sound to people? Do we not read this scripture? Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the earth. That right there should be enough to make us shout up and down all over the aisles, hang from the chandeliers, walk the back of the pews, just to know that Jesus Christ is going to be with us all the way to the end. All the way to the end. Not starting of our journey, not middle through our journey, not at the end of our journey, but he's going to be through it all in between. All of it. That's why it irks me sometimes. I like that word, irks. Irks me sometimes when people get so, you know, discouraged and they're just, you know, you're just, ugh. God's going to take care of it, man. Don't worry about it. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. In the end. You may not see the end. You may not can see the end. You're looking and you're looking. All you see is a black tunnel. You see no light, nowhere. Just keep on keeping on. Keep on doing what you know is right. Keep on saying that in your mind. Send me, Lord God, I will go. Send me. There is always a sense of urgency-ness. Excuse me. Uncertainty-ness when being called of God. It is not that you are afraid of if he will be with you, but it's about who you're going to face along the way. It's always uncertain when you go to somebody or when you try to minister to somebody or you're just praying, Lord, show me your will for my life. And you want the will of the Lord. And then he shows you the will of the Lord and you're following that path and you still have questions in your mind. You're uncertain, kind of scared. You're like, well, Lord, I don't know, you know, if I should do this or this. Just trust in him. Just trust in him. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 1. Isaiah saw a vision. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Some things in our life have got to die out. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord seated upon a throne, high and lifted up. Certain things in your life have got to die out. Your Uzziahs have to die off. Your bad habits have to die off. The things that keep you from getting what God needs you has to die off. Before you can see exactly what God has for you, you have to completely change your life. Your lifestyle has to change. The way you talk has to change. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2 says, "And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Isaiah is seeing this vision, and Israel's king has died, but God is still alive. God is still seated on the throne, high and lifted up. Certain things have got to die off in your life. We all know that we can't come to Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost, be baptized in His name, and then keep doing the same things that we've been doing. You have got to have a change in heart. You got to have a change in mind. You got to have a change in the way you do things, what you say, how you treat people. Amen? All these different things have got to change. He sits on a throne, the throne of glory, before which we must worship. A throne of government under what we must be subject, and a throne of grace to which we may come boldly. We can come boldly to the throne of God. Aren't you thankful for that? When you pray, you don't have to go through nobody. You don't have to go, "Brother Wesley, can you tell the Lord that I need Him today?" We just go straight to the Lord. We just go straight to God in prayer. Amen. Amen. I thank the Lord for that. I don't know about you, but I need Him every day. I need Him every step of my life. Matter of fact, we need Him more than our next breath. Because our breath can go, but we still need God. We still need God on our side. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. And twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. It's important for us to have a covering over our face. To be careful of the things that you see. To be careful of the things that you hear. Most of all, to be careful of the things that you speak. God chose speaking in other tongues to show us that He could take control of our tongue. How many of you know that when you look at things or when you see stuff, it starts putting temptations in your mind? That's why it's important that we have a covering over our face to keep our ears and our eyes and our mouth from hearing things. The Bible talks about this as separation. How many of we still believe in separation around here? Yeah, come on. Amen. Come on. Separation from the world. Amen. Separation from things that are going on at school. Separations from things that are going on around our job. Just because, it's supposed to mix politics with religion, but just because the government signs a bill and stamps it does not make it right. There's still separation that we must follow the word of God. I believe some disciples, whenever they were getting beat, they asked them, they said, "You know, stop doing this." And they said, "Should we listen to you, man, or should we listen to God?" We should follow God. We should follow his footsteps. We should follow what He instructed us. He left us something. It's the word of God. And if we don't read that word of God, if we don't apply that word of God to our lives and to our hearts, what good is it? Why did He do all this? If we're not going to follow after what He's instructed us to do, why did He come do what He did? Amen? Why did He come do what He did if we're not going to use it, if we're not going to apply it to our lives? A covering for His feet. It's important that we cover our feet. It's important that you be careful where you go. Well, be careful, little feet, where you go. Because there's little ones behind you that are sure to follow.
That's right.
These young people and these kids in this church, they're looking up to each and every one of you. They see you doing certain things. They see you acting certain ways. They see me acting certain ways. They're going to follow after that. They're going to say, "Well, Brother Bacon does it, so it must be okay." We got to be careful, church. We got to be very, 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 very careful. We have to be very careful. Covering our feet. God, direct me in the right path. Direct me in the path that you would want me to go. Send me in the direction that you would want me to go. Isaiah 6 and 3. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is full of his glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sometimes I just like to say that. Holy, holy, holy. You talk about the Shekinah of the glory coming down on you. Being in his presence, it's like instantaneous. Hallelujah. Who is holier than our God? Who is holier than our God? I don't believe I have found anybody that's holier than our God. I don't believe that I know of anybody. History, I don't know of anybody in the past that's been holier than our God. Amen. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah 6 and 4. And the post of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. I don't know about you, but you sent me in the smoking section. I want that smoke. I want that anointing. Amen? Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Gave the utterance. Giving the utterance. He's still doing it, church. Matter of fact, today at 2 o'clock, Sister Autumn received the Holy Ghost during worship. We were singing songs and she started speaking in tongues as the Spirit would give the utterance. Hallelujah. Sit me in the smoking section. I want to be where that fire is at. I want to be where the Shekinah of the glory is at. I want to be where that cloud is at. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Isaiah 6 and 5. Then I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone." See, Isaiah was seeing all this stuff in his vision. Then he started speaking into it. He said, "Then I said, woe is me." See, he's seeing all this stuff happen, and he's like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. "Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When we come to God, we have to come to him with an attitude of being unworthy. We are all unworthy to be in his presence. We are all unworthy to have him come and live inside of us when we receive the Holy Ghost. We're not worthy. The Bible basically calls us sinners. And we were born into sin. Of course, when we come to him and repent of our sins, he clears all that up for us. But still, why would he do that for me? Why would he do that for me? Why would he stop what he's doing thousands of years ago and come and manifest himself in flesh? Why would he do that? Because he loved us. And not just that puppy love or just that romantic love that nowadays everybody's all into. But it's real love. It's unconditional. No matter what you do, no matter what you did, he's here and he's ready to save you. As long as you follow his steps. Amen? Follow the plan of salvation. And he's ready and willing to save us. To save you, to save me.
Come on.
Some Bible scholars say that Isaiah said this because of some rash words that he had spoken or his sinful silence in not reproving sin with boldness. When you're around people that are saying stuff that's not right, it's okay to speak up. Hello? It's okay to speak up. I've got three ladies that sit right next to me and they talk worse than the two guys that's sitting on the other side of me over here. We have this thing called a cuss jar at work. And if you look in there, there's only pennies. Like, I'm trying to get him to put dollars in there, you know? Every time he cuss, you know what I'm saying? Put a 20 in there, you know what I'm saying? Put something in there, it's going to hurt, you know? Pennies aren't going to do anything. But they cuss more than the guys over here do. I mean, matter of fact, I never hear the guys cuss. But I don't know how many times I said, whoa, y'all should. They're like, oh, sorry, Reverend Bacon. I'm sorry. And this thing now, Reverend Bacon. You know, oh, don't let him hear you talking like that. He's a preacher. It doesn't matter if I'm a preacher or not. I'm a child of God. I don't want to hear that mess. Amen? I don't want to hear that mess. And I've actually come out and told him. I said, hey, you know, if you are going to cuss, do it on that far office over there. Go in there and do it all you want. Don't do it over here beside me. And I have these headphones, and I have this app called Pandora, and I jam out to Christian music all day long. And then when they need me or whatever, you know, they're like, Michael, huh? You know, I keep my headset on. I keep working. I do what I know is right. I get my worship on at work. I'm telling you, sometimes I'll be over there, you know, but I'll be like, what you listen to? Man, you don't want to do this. You don't know nothing about this. Hezekiah Walker be able to jam it out. But God is good. I'm telling you, if you will stand up to what is right, people will start respecting that. They'll start respecting that. Now, when you first do it, they might get their feelings hurt about it. You know, something might be said, well, you know, huh, you trying to judge? No, I'm not trying to judge you. Just, I don't want to hear that mess. I'd ask you that you please don't do it in front of me. Thank you. And now, almost every time, you know, it's done or said that I actually hear it or whatever, it's always like, hey, man, I'm sorry. Sorry, Reverend Bacon. And they walk over there and stick a couple pennies in there. I'm like, man, y'all need to put some 20s in there. You know what I'm saying? Something that hurts. That way, next time you'd be like, you know what, I probably shouldn't say that. You know what I'm saying? $20 of my lunch money just gone. But Isaiah was saying this, some Bible scholars say, because of the fact that of his sinful silence and not reproving sin with boldness. It's okay for us to do that. Isaiah 6 through 7, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Don't ever feel like you're not good enough. God will not call the qualified, but he will qualify the called. You may not feel like you can do certain things in your life, but I'm telling you, when God calls you, you may be ignorant. If God calls you, you better follow it. Because he'll give you what you need. He'll provide for you. He will send that anointing down, and that's all you need in your life. That's all you're going to need for the rest of your life is that anointing from Jesus Christ. But he's not going to call the qualified. Because if he did, he wouldn't have called me. See, I'm a work in progress. There's a song that me and my sister used to sing. He's still working on me to make me what are to be. I can go on and sing the rest of it, but I'm not going to. But he's still working on us. Some of us takes a little bit longer. How many of you had kids that you've noticed over the years that one or the other may learn differently than the other one? You may have to put a little bit more effort into this person versus the other person. You know, you may have one smart kid, you know, he aces everything in school, and you know, but then when he gets out there and tries to put on something on a tire or bike, he's like, what's a wrench? What? You don't know what a wrench is? You know? You never know. Then you might have another kid that, you know what I'm saying, works outside, but he fails everything. You may have to put a little bit more effort into it. That's what God's having to do with some of us here tonight, is he's having to put a little bit more effort into. What was happening here was God was once again in all his glory and all his mercy and all his grace was forgiving Isaiah and washing and cleansing his lips and cleansing his life. See, when you come to God, you have to have that mentality of, woe is me. Once again, we're not worthy to come before God. We're not worthy to come in his presence. But God is always faithful to forgive. Always faithful to forgive. Brother Bowman, I was young and now I am old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Never seen. Now, things may not have gone like you wanted to, or I wanted to, or I've saw it happen, whatever, but he's always faithful. Always faithful. Isaiah 6 and 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. God is looking for someone to go and to preach. It may not be in another country as a mission. It may be just walking outside these doors and talking to somebody about Jesus. But he's looking for somebody to go and preach his word. He's looking for somebody to go and minister to somebody's heart. Thank you, Jesus. If you will, stand with me tonight. You may have not gotten anything out of this message at all. But I just want you to understand, and I want you to take away from this service here tonight that here I am, God. He's looking for somebody to send. He's looking for somebody that he can send out and that he can have minister to somebody's life. Are you going to be that one that says, here I am, Lord? Now be careful when you say this, okay? Because it could wind up making you go to South Africa or the Philippines or somewhere in the mission field. But if you're really sincere about God and winning souls for Jesus Christ, say that. Send me, Lord, I'll go. Whatever it's going to take. You may be poor. You may not have all the material things in life. But one thing that you will have, you'll have God on your side. You'll have God directing you. You'll have him and his anointing on your life. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If anybody has that mindset tonight that you want to tell God, send me, I'll go, I ask that you start praying and that you ask the Lord to minister to your life. I'm opening up these altars for anybody who wants to come. If you want to kneel down where you're at sitting, that's totally fine. Whatever you feel comfortable with. I don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable. But send me, Lord God, I will go. Whatever needs to be done, Jesus. Whatever needs to be done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.